brandishing their lances, sure now of a capture and kill. "Down, Sultana!" cries I, drawing the pistol Napier had given me. And seeing what I was at, she slipped from the saddle and down beside me as I took cover in a clump of rocks. I was hoping to God our pursuers had no firearms, but even if they had, we'd no choice but to make a stand. It was a piece I'd never handled before, an American Jocelyn 44 with 5 shots in the cylinder, any one guaranteed to stop a rhino in its tracks. My immediate aim was to stop a horse, for I'm no Hickok, and knew that if I let them come near enough to shoot a rider and missed him, they'd be all over us. So I rested the long barrel on a rock, waited with my heart thumping, sighted on the foremost horse, took the pressure, and let fly at 30 yards. The beast went down like a stone, screaming. A rider flew headfirst into a boulder, and with any luck cracked his skull, and his mates hauled their wind with cries of alarm and sheered off out of range. "Kill them!" Ulaba was blazing with rage. "Shoot this one! See there, the one with the lion scarf. That is Yondo, Gubazi's toad. Kill the bastard, I say, kill him!" "Not at this range," says I. "Keep a grip of that bridle, will you? We're going to need that screw." They didn't have firearms, fortunately, and seemed to be at a loss until their leader, Yondo, sent forward a reluctant scout to see how their fallen companion had fared. The fellow came on in little runs from boulder to boulder, while I lay doggo, calming Ulaba's demands that I blow him to damnation. When he reached the fallen body, I tried a snapshot, which missed but struck splinters from a rock beside him. He scuttled off in panic, and they made no further sortie, but started shouting at us, and Ulaba got to her feet and called back. From the spirited exchanges which ensued in Amharic between her and Yondo, a burly brute with a hectoring manner, I gathered he was making an informal proposal, which she was declining in grossly insulting terms, for from cajoling he passed to threatening, and concluded in a veritable passion, jumping up and down, stamping and hurling his fine lion robe to the ground. I decided to try a long shot at him, and missed again, but winged one of his companions, to Ulaba's delight. That discouraged them, and presently they rode off, Yondo shouting what sounded like a mixture of pleas and menaces. "They will return," says Ulaba. "Yondo dare not go back to Gubazi with a tale of failure. We shall have them round my citadel before night. So the sooner we are within the walls, the better." She rode her horse, and I led my lame screw, and as we went I demanded, and got an explanation, of our recent stirring encounter. She gave it straight-faced, matter-of-fact, as though it were an account of everyday social activities among the smart set, which I guess it was, Abyssinian style. Her husband, she reminded me, was held prisoner by King Gubazi of Laster, who had lustful designs on her, and had threatened to have hubby dismembered at length unless she placed herself at His Majesty's disposal. This she had declined to do, so Gubazi had ordered Yondo, a local petty chief, to abduct her. But Yondo, too, had designs on her, and these being troubled times, with Gubazi at sporadic war with Theodore, had decided to take her for himself, possibly passing her on to Gubazi later, or fobbing him off with some fiction. Hence Yando's ambush, foiled by resourceful Flashy. Whether her husband remained whole and intact or not, she forgot to mention. I could see now what she had meant by referring to her suitors, and how right she'd been to describe herself as an unsafe travelling companion. Half Abyssinia seemed to be nuts on her, eager to abduct her and happy to butcher her chance associates, such as myself, and this was the woman who was to guide me through hostile country and present me to her balmy half-sister, whom she might well try to depose. By gad, Speedy could pick him, couldn't he just? In addition to which, she was the sort who abandoned lovers to their fate, and didn't seem to care if someone dissected the man she'd sworn to love, honour, and obey. But then again, she had a lovely figure, and such legs as the faithful imagine on the houris of paradise. And she was not without womanly sentiment.
"God send that Sarafa die quickly in the fight," says she. "If he was taken alive, Yondo will give me 1,000 deaths because he was my lover."
I said Yondo might not be aware of that, and she looked at me in astonishment.
"Why, Sarafa will taunt him with it," cries she. "He will throw it in Yondo's face."
She didn't add, "Wouldn't you?" possibly because she thought the question superfluous. Once over the ridge, we came in sight of the citadel, and it didn't look any less sinister on second viewing, perched high on a rocky outcrop, with a drop of hundreds of feet to the valley below. We reached